who's the very best, whatever, from the standpoint that I think all of us probably have a decision made, I would assume. And I'd like to suggest that we just simply vote and just see what happens here. Technically, there's six of us that have a vote. If there would be a tie, I was going to suggest that we make one person a tiebreaker. I was going to suggest Jeff McLaughlin for that, because he's the closest thing to the next elder. And rather than spend 2 hours dissecting this again, I'm ready to move on. And, you know, after prayer, I figured if the apostles couldn't figure it out when they had two good candidates and they simply, you know, threw the dice, you know, to pick the one who won, which Matthias, you know, God is the only one who can see what's going to happen in the future. And I'm ready to do it. So,
I guess I don't agree with the process, but I agree with God leading us. I was looking forward to hearing where everyone else was at to help God lead it as a group versus individuals in a democratic thing.
So sort of, if you don't mind jumping in. So I was thinking, just hearing that conversation, if we were to do it like Brett had set up originally for the first three, when we had three of them, and we sort of voted around, and then we had that discussion. So then that would sort of take care of almost both of those kinds of concepts of sort of meshing the two back to that, where we find out where everybody stands. And if we all stand at the same space, there's no time for us necessarily to sit here and discuss for hours that we all vote for the same person.
Which is kind of what happened with the youth minister. We kind of went. We kind of brought the input with the search committee, got their input, then we kind of shared. We said, well, let's see where everybody's at. And it was a pretty obvious thing. Yeah. God gave us clarity there, which it could be what happens. But I would be open towards, again, if we had a tie, I think talking through a lot of stuff and being working.
I'm just throwing it out there to try to, you know.
I'm throwing mine out there, too.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time. I think, you know, definitely we want to pray. But then under number three in here, we have to cover each of these points. So who's our preference? Are they both good? And if the one guy's not good, you know, or not willing to accept it, do we offer it to the second guy? So we need to know if we do have two options, or if we continue to search, or if neither one of them bubbles up, do we continue to search? So when we, you know, go around and voice our opinions, we need to say also, you know, do we have one? Do we have two? Which is primary? Because we do need to understand that.
It makes me think about Brad's example of the apostles choosing the two. So what if Matthias said no?
Yeah.
I know.
No, I'm not interested.
You know, it's interesting. You never heard anything about him in the rest of the Bible. You know, you kind of wonder what happened there.
Even the church fathers, I don't think, wrote much about him. So it's really strange that they chose the one, and then Paul sort of supersedes him at that point once he comes on.
Well, Mr. Walker, would you lead us in a prayer?
Absolutely. Good morning, Father, and thank you for creating this wonderful day, and thank you, Father, for our families, and thank you for those that are in our neighborhoods that we have relationships with. Father, we just pray that that they see you in us, and we just ask, Father, for opportunities to share why we believe who you are and what that has meant to us in our lives, and the peace, the hope, and the comfort we get in relationship with you, Father. We just want to share that not only with our neighbors, but our household, our family. And Father, we just pray that you can always be at the forefront of what we do.
Amen.
Lord, we just humbled by this moment we're in right now in terms of the candidate selection. And we don't really know where this is going to go, but you do.
Yes,
and we
right.
have ultimate confidence in you, Lord. Amen. And so we just pray that this day that you will smile at the end of the day mm-hmm. and say, job well done.
Mm-hmm.
We just pray this Amen. In your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So hold on, just give me a second here. So, let's kind of, you know, combination of what Brad and Jeff was saying is, I think it would be best to go around once and just as briefly as possible state if you have a preference, if you think that both are good, and if you have a preference from that, or if you think one of them is not acceptable or both of them is not acceptable, then the next time we'll spend time chatting about why you came to those decisions, if you guys are agreeable with that. So, Steve, maybe if you start off and give us your thoughts.
I lean towards Jason. You want a why?
Not yet. Second time, yeah.
I lean towards Jason, and I'm struggling with if both of them are good candidates. Mm-hmm. I think they're both good candidates. I struggle with, which is what I'm looking forward to getting input from you guys,
mm-hmm.
if John is a good candidate, if Jason says no. I don't know.
Okay.
I lean toward yes, but then I look at some of the things and I don't know. So I look forward to y'all's influencing me on that one.
Okay. David?
I put a preference on Jason. I do think they're both good candidates, and I do think John would, if Jason says no, this isn't going to work for my family, John would be a viable option. They both need different things. They're both going to grow from where they are, but I think we've got two good guys, and I think that's a blessing, even though we have to wrestle with it.
Okay, and I'm same with you. I lean towards Jason, but I think they'd both be good candidates. So, Brad?
Ditto.
Okay.
I know my vote doesn't count, but...
Your vote counts.
It's a half a vote.
Yeah.
So we both vote the same. We get one vote.
No, the lawyer figured it out. But my vote would be Jason, and option A, if not Jason, then John.
Okay.
Yeah, and I sit with Dave, I think, too, with the idea that both of them need a lot of, not really a lot of training. Well,
we're not going to get into the details this time. This is,
and so I think that I probably sit more on the Jason side.
Okay.
Because it's the difference of relearning versus just learning.
That's going to determine if we're going to be leaving or staying a while.
That's right.
I'm Jason.
Okay. Just Jason?
Some reservations about John, I'll share those with you.
Okay.
Definitely Jason.
All right, we're done.
You made all that coffee. Yeah.
I'll make a good use of it.
No, on John, if Jason says no.
Really? Because that seems a little backward from what I thought you originally thought.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
And okay.
I think based on just a lot of the concerns and comments,
right,
it would be an uphill climb, I think.
Right. So maybe now we can just start talking about the candidates.
I think we prayed for God to give us clarity.
Wow, it's powerful.
And he has.
That's right. Powerful.
So let's just stop and let me lead a prayer.
Yes, okay. Amen.
God, we come to you now and just thank you for answering our prayers
mm-hmm.
as we have petitioned you for making it clear to us who we want to come in as our lead minister. And I'm just thrilled.
Yes.
That not that my vote got it, the guy I won, but that we were clear.
Yes.
That you made that clear.
Yes.
Yes.
And thank you for that, and thank you for Jason. And Father, I pray that
that when we present this to he and Megan, that they will accept.
Amen. Amen.
I thank you for the gentlemen in here and for their faith and their commitment to you and your kingdom in this congregation. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just as a side note, the staff is 100% Jason as well.
Okay. And that's important. I was wondering. Yeah. Bring that up.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really? I thought Nathan was...
I just spoke to Nathan 5 minutes ago.
Because his... What he told me the other day was almost the opposite.
Yeah.
But he was on the edge. So he's been...
I know, he's been... That's why I called...
That's where I'm sort of sitting.
So when
he was in the gym, and I was at the same place you were. Yeah. I said, where are you, Nathan? He said, I'm in Jason's camp. So.
Yeah, Tuesday, I think. Or maybe it was Wednesday we talked about it. And that's when he told me the other. Like, he's like, I think I'm on the John camp. It's that kind of thing. And it's just like, yeah. But it's like, I think all of us that we've sort of floated at times...
Yeah.
Because of Jason's struggles that he has.
So I guess now just talking about them, I mean, if they're both viable, because again, I think it's not a guarantee that Jason and Megan are going to accept this. I think they've got a lot to pray about, you know, a lot for them to consider. I think it's a stretch for them. And again, I think that Steve, are you the main contact for Jason?
Yeah.
Would you be okay? That again... He understands that this is a calling, you know, that we are calling him, and hopefully he feels that God's calling him. And this is more than just a job offer, right? And that somehow we can communicate to him and say, yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's going to require him to change a lot in his family. But, a lot for him to pray about as well. But then we need to also understand our position on John, but then also we need to discuss... because like when the memorandum of understanding, kind of what David was saying is both of these have strengths and weaknesses, and they'll have different needs coming in that we need to identify and try to lay out as best we can in that memorandum of understanding. So,
yeah, once we, I also advocate we talk about communication here. Because that's a whole nother thing. Yep. Once we know what we want to do, okay, it might play out this way, might play out that way. Right. What do we communicate when?
Yeah, and that was the last bullet on here, right, because that's going to be important. Yeah. So maybe we spend some time on John, if he's a viable second candidate and those with reservations, maybe if you guys want to express those or...
My reservation is it a good fit? He's a really good guy. He's a good speaker, a real likable guy. And so I think he could eventually fit. And it comes across, as many people thought, he was a lot older than Jason.
Right.
And he's one that, in many ways, is more talented for what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But still may not be the fit that we're looking for long term, which is one of my hesitations. But he's also one that's frustrated with the system that he grew up in and has been in, and that makes him a better fit to grow into our system. But he comes across as very Church of Christ, which it's what he's always ever been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And my hesitation is the response from some of the people that were against him. And again, I don't think that's a reason why we should make a decision, because we got to make a decision some people aren't going to like. That's why I've hesitated, just because I don't know if he's the one that can get us moving on with younger people coming in. And I say, I don't know. He could,
right?
But I don't know.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is this idea of a viable candidate, I think the answer is yes, in my mind, because there's a few of us that grew up in Churches of Christ, right?
Yeah.
And some of us grew up in pretty conservative Churches of Christ.
Yeah.
Here at McKnight was not quite that much, I think, in Glendale, but some of us were at Arnold, and you were at Overland before here, and then before that, even other places that were...
Yeah.
And the thing is that it did take us time to move to where we're at.
Yeah.
I remember, so I may go back and look at some of the documents that I wrote and sent from Hungary as I was moving from A to B, and I can see how Church of Christ they were and how much in my sermons I talked about Church of Christ things, because that's where you're still sitting at. That's what you're familiar with. Can you make the move? Yes. Will it take time? And is the rest of the congregation making the move with you? No, not really. It's you trying to make that. And so, is he viable? Yes. Could we struggle with a year of Church of Christ sermons? We would probably have to. Yeah. We would try to influence him and mentor him, of course, to get him. But could he get a catch up? Yes. Is he going to be the evangelism piece? I don't think so. So that's another piece that we have to, if we're thinking for just the preacher, he could do a really good job. But the evangelism piece, I don't know if that would actually happen, that we're sort of looking for to a point.
Yeah. And you look at the two guys, just look at what they got their bachelor's degree in.
Yeah.
Jason's was in graphic arts. So we're going to get a guy that's an artist if we get Jason.
Yeah.
And we've got to understand that he'll be very different from Jeff, or he could be, just because he's artistic and thrives. And again, this may not be what he is, but this is that.
Yeah. Administration's probably not going to be a strong suit.
Yeah, probably not going to be a strong suit, but boy, creativity and things like that, which are some things we need, he would be great at. Where John, his bachelor's was in IT.
Right.
So administration and stuff like that might be more his strong suit. So with us going with Jason, we have to understand we're bringing a guy that's his foundation is artistic. So
we may be stuck with Steve for a long time. just so you know.
So Steve and Don, your thoughts?
I resonated with John probably a little bit better than I did with Jason. I really connected with him. And I can see myself working with him as, you know, in this role. But at the end of the day, I said, you know, it's really not about me. You know, it's about what's best for McKnight Crossings. Mm-hmm. And as I think about that, I think that Jason is a much better fit. And I think the anticipated gains and things we expect from Jason, like being able to connect with the younger generation, very relatable across, you know, multi-generations and ethnic groups. Those are, I think, important things for us where we are now as a congregation. And I'm not sure John bring those to the table. The other thing with John, and I expressed this earlier, is that I don't know why this dynamic was there, but how he interacted with Katie. You know, that was a little bit overbearing, and it may have been because, you know, he felt the need to do that so that he can demonstrate whatever, and I don't know, and it may not be the normal dynamic, but I don't know that, but what I saw, it was like, man, that, as one of the leaders, and if that's the dynamic that their relationship as one of the leaders, I don't think that's the kind of communication you want to send to the congregation. You know, coming from one of our most visible leaders. And that was one of my main reasons for it.
I did not see what you're describing, mm-hmm. and so you need to elaborate for me.
I saw it here at dinner a little bit, but I'll give you one of the examples. So when we were having the leadership ministry, they were on stage, and he grabbed the microphone from her a couple of times and said, hey, I'm not trying to be a idiot, but I know she's terrified. So, and kind of inserted himself into the conversation when she was trying to make a point. He wouldn't let her really elaborate, you know, on some of the things. And so it was almost like, I don't know if it was running interference for her or what was going on. Or is that their normal dynamics? Or if he if he was to come here, that wouldn't happen. But I saw that type of dynamic with those two.
And I saw the same thing. So even like you're talking about here at the table when we're with the staff, so the only way you could talk to Katie really and get an answer was by herself. So and the ladies sort of did that a couple of times.
They did.
They sort of made sure that he was, and maybe it's just the women thing, but
But I was there too, so I, unless they consider me one of the women. But it was one of those kinds of things that it was. And then me and Hurt had long, several conversations in the hallway because he was off with you guys in the prayer room in the gym, and she was out there with me. And so we had these conversations that she was interested in, and that she was. But it was just one of those things that it didn't happen if he was around the table. Not that it's necessarily bad. He's the candidate. But it was one thing that, like you're saying, it's sort of pulling the mic from her. And so...
I'm sorry.
Well, I just... as a matter of perspective, like, Gwen is a very strong woman that, like, you don't need to stand up for her. I mean, you would if you needed to, but... She stands up for herself. Being married to Alicia, Alicia's, when she's around a small group of friends, she's very outgoing. Like in a small group, one on one, when she gets to know people. When I fell in love with her, she was like the leader of her little clique, and I really liked it. But like when she comes to church with a large group, she's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, and she'll try her best to not show it, but then afterwards, she's just like very fatigued and like. The thought, like we had talked about, you know, like what if I went to ministry, and she's like, I can't be a preacher's wife, which is exactly what Kelly did. And when you all approached me about being an elder, she's like, I'm not sure I could be an elder's wife. Like there's a lot of social things. And I'm like, no, one-on-one you could do it. But anyway, so there's a responsibility I feel to make sure that what I'm pursuing is not a burden to her. And so I feel protective of her when we're in large groups, whereas she can be very good one-on-one, but like it's my default mode and it's her default mode because it's, she needs it so often that she'll let me lead even when she probably didn't, but she's just so used to that. So I'm not saying that it's not a problem what he's doing, but the motivation is most likely one of responsibility and a pattern that she's growing into this new role that she just came to terms with after some time. And so that might change over time, but I doubt it's he's got to prove something or it's I didn't get that sense.
Okay.
And my wife is introverted also, and I have felt some of the same protecting her in larger groups.
Yeah.
She's a strong woman, believe me, sometimes. but yeah, I felt the same and had that same response when I saw that with John and her, John and Katie. So it was a little more
perspective. Observations people had shared with me as I heard, you know, both ends, where one person thought Katie was very independent and had conversations and mingled independent of John. And somebody else said, I loved how Megan never left Jason's side. They were together all the time. You could tell they were together in this effort.
Yeah, you know, if there's anyone protecting someone else, it'd almost be in social situations, it would be her protecting Jason.
Yeah.
Because he's the less outgoing one.
Right. And so I knew that from more interaction, but the impressions from what they got was just an interesting, oh, wow.
It comes off a little better with them because Megan's trying to push him into that position so as opposed to shield him and protect him.
Yeah.
So, Don, what's your thoughts on John?
You know, I think everybody's just sort of hit him. Okay. I guess my concern with John really is the statements that I saw and heard from people about sort of the CFC history and felt like that, you know, he couldn't break away. What if he couldn't break away from that, you know?
Right.
And then most troubling to me was I did get, you know, a statement from, you know, and you don't want to put some people's comments more weighted than others, but, you know, I called Jeff Kreider and just asked him, and he had pretty strong feelings that John was not the, and he made this statement that he felt like that if we chose John, that people would leave and we'd lose people, you know?
Yeah.
And he just felt that that was a tough thing to overcome. But in defense of that, or against that though, he was not there on Saturday night, you know, he was not there for any, he was basing that basically on what the sermon was. So And I don't think that's totally fair. Yeah. But then I called Kaz just to follow up with him, and he had very similar concerns, you know. And so I don't know. I just felt like that there's enough of a red flag there that from somebody that I trust, you know. But
thanks for calling, Jeff.
And yeah.
Kaz, that's I had forgotten about Jeff's input here. We didn't formalize that.
And it didn't come through it voluntarily either.
So he actually did talk to me that day on Sunday afternoon. We did have a conversation. But he did not fill out the form.
No,
so
Becky did, but
Becky
Jeff
did,
didn't.
But they're identical. Right. So that's pretty much the same things that he told Becky me. Felt so Kaz probably told you exactly the same thing Jeff told you too.
Pretty much.
So my thought, and I like John, and it's interesting in that when he preaches, he sounds like a preacher. But so did Jeff Kreider. So Jeff, when he preaches, he doesn't talk the same way he talks normally. And some people just do that. So, you know, like when you preach, you talk like when you talk. But some people have an affectation of tone and delivery and pacing. And so, yeah, Jeff Kreider preaches like he's preaching, and so did John. Now, it's different than Jeff's. I didn't find it problematic, but there is a delivery style. So yeah, when people said, yeah, he sounds like a preacher, and well, yeah, so did Jeff. The other was he sounds like a Southern boy, and I can't disagree with that, but I think people piled on to what pejoratives there are with that term. So Southern boys are this. And not that he displayed those things, but it's like, you know, he may have these tendencies or these inclinations. And there was some feedback I got from people to say, he sounds like a preacher, but he sounds like a Southern preacher. And because there's baggage with that, just because of the way the tone of his voice and the way he uses his vowels. And I don't know that that's John's problem. It's an awareness of the congregation, but I don't know that that's something that I would say should prevent us from choosing somebody as baggage that people have in some areas. So, again, I thought I liked him. Yeah, and you know, it's difficult. You know, you get a few hours with these guys, and you're trying to get a feel for their personality, and I think maybe John was more guarded with himself, so maybe you didn't really get a good feel, but I think what I saw was positive. So anyway, Michelle and I were on the Jason camp and thought John would be a good second. We both liked him.
Yeah, I've been asking myself, you know, okay, here's where these guys are now, but where are they likely to be? And I found myself feeling like Jason's, you know, got growth, and I like that trajectory that you can imagine the best I can. John, I feel like he's got these strengths of this biblical foundation. And as we try to be evangelistic and bring in young families and everything, you know, we've got a solid anchor there. You know, that Church of Christ preaching routine, okay, you can say it's old school, but there's a lot of good in that.
Amen.
I mean, there is lots of scripture reference, anchor on that, you know, not just what feels good, but, you know, willingness to talk about the hard things and challenge and all of that. And wow, as we try to bring in young families and they're not so biblically grounded and our congregation ages out and that biblical grounding is less, as it, you know, as people age out and pass on, this next generation needs a biblical grounding, and we've got to not drift from that. And it's like, oh, well, the next decade, here's a way to get that. Mm-hmm. And then he'll move into relational and all of that, you know. And it'll be a breath of fresh air, and he'll flourish in this, the freedom that we're going to offer him, mm-hmm. you know. And so, oh, isn't that a valid trajectory? And so, yes, my preference was for Jason, mm-hmm. and I think you make a good point about the artsy and relational and, you know, connecting. He's going to be genuine and not mm-hmm. formula, but I mm-hmm. thought there's mm-hmm. something to be said about the foundation that John would offer as he grows.
Amen.
And doesn't just stick to, you know, this box. Mm-hmm. For with us. And so that's why I think if it can't work for Jason, then I'd like to be blessed by John.
Okay. Brad, your thoughts?
I haven't heard anything that I didn't know when I walked in here, but my wife picked up the same vibe that you were talking about, and I told her, I said, I thought he was trying to, you know, protect his wife, and, you know, she disagreed with me. You know, she was pretty connected with all the ladies around here, and I can tell you that she wants Jason, and she doesn't like John. That's what, you know, and I said, well, I like John, and I think he was excited to come here to find the freedom to really do what he would like to do. And I thought that would be, you know, a good thing for us. So I'm really good with both. And my thought is, let's see if Jason's available and if he wants it. And if he's not, then let's plug him in, because we got to start this process all over again from scratch. You're going to have fewer people to do it with, and that's, you know, my thought is, I think God gave us the ability to say, okay, guys, pick and choose what you want. With Jason, you're going to have to spend a lot more time, you know, I think, helping him than you would John, where John would hit the thing. But I think John would be asking, what do you want me to do? And we could be directing that to where, you know, very put it on the table, you know. Maybe we get him a health plan and, you know, tell him that, you know, we're going to try to make him sound a little different, and we work with him on those things too. So whatever you guys want. But I think starting from scratch is not a good choice.
Yeah, I know that I've heard a couple. So, Don, your comment about we lose people if we got John. We don't choose either, or Jason says no, and we don't choose John. We're going to lose people, like you're saying, Brad. And I've already heard people that are unsettled that we've let it go this long to a
this
point.
Long. It's not been long.
I know. These are the words that I've heard.
Yeah.
And the problem is that it's been since August or September when Jeff left. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had a year to do it.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But the fact is that there's been this gap. And I've heard people complaining about the sermons that we're giving. Because, you know, everything is about sermons and about Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's not about any of the rest of the week. It's, mm-hmm. So this is where we struggle as a congregation still, even though we're a different congregation.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
It is.
I see the gap is
and that's what
blessing.
And that's what I've been telling.
And you're getting feedback on that, too. Wow, this is better than I expected.
But I could see that being a fact that if we don't choose one of them, or one of them doesn't, or neither of them accept, let's say, in that situation, we should be thinking of what the next thing is really fast, because we could be losing congregants. Right.
And I think we all realize that there's no way to please everybody, that we shouldn't make a decision. I mean, we should be aware of the congregation, but we can't kowtow to the fear of losing people. And so what's the right decision? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because whatever we do, people are not going to like it. There's going to be a certain group that, and we just have to trust in the Spirit and trust in God and stand behind that, I think.
And I'll say, whatever we decide here, I know we've decided we're going to ask Jason. If we decide, if he says no, we'll move forward and try to find somebody else. I don't want to do that. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
But if that's where we're at, I don't want to feel desperate. I feel
okay,
we can move forward and we'll find somebody else out there. If we decide it's John, yeah, I'm behind that. Whatever we decide here, I'm for. If it's A, B, or C, if we have to start from scratch again, I don't want that. But if that's what we decide, if we feel like that's where God's calling us,
I'll get in there and we'll get in there and we'll, we can, I can do that.
I think if we decide to do that, we'll probably want to rethink some of the process and spread it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would probably be your exhaustion thing, because you've been charging on this real hard. We really appreciate that.
Well, but it's been 4 years of
of
stuff with all the transition here. This, not just this one, but it's 4 years.
Okay. Okay. So I wouldn't want, I think we need to figure out, okay, is John a viable candidate? And if we say yes, okay, well then he's our go-to after that. If we say no, I don't want the fear of having to start all over to dictate us being able to say no. Mm-hmm. You know, so we, you know, God will provide what we need.
Mm-hmm. You know? Amen, amen. So, yeah. So maybe we just, you know, kind of give, again, I just kind of vote on John. Is he a viable second candidate? So I'll just, overall, I like the guy. I have some of the quibbles some other people had that, you know, he's heavy. That concerns me. And the other, just, there's just a lot of unknowns. The same thing with Jason. And the other is, read in between the lines. And again, I think he's a viable candidate, and that's why I wanted to get the background checks. Is, you know, people said, you know, this relationship with his wife, you know, is he overbearing? I found it odd that he had the story of the family gathering where does Daddy yell at Mom? Mm. And yes, Daddy yells at Mom, and well, just when she's in the other room, it's like, well. It's just an odd story, unless, you know, somebody asks the kids, yeah, Dad's always yelling at Mom. And they'll say, yeah, because, you know, that funny joke, remember, when she's in another room. So, and again, I am reading way too much into that, but it's just an odd story that maybe somebody would tell if they're trying to front run the kids saying something awkward. So, again, I debated whether I would share that, but it's just awkward. But, and so that's, again, a low probability, but I'm still in favor of him. So I vote that John's a viable second candidate.
Yeah, there were, so both candidates, so Steve and I could probably tell you that they both had very odd stories that they told three times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was, we heard them here with the staff, we heard them upstairs, we heard in the interview, actually, and then we heard them in the ministry thing, and it's just like, yeah, these are getting old, but they're trying to present their best thing. Sure. But the thing is that in my mind, like you're saying, I would never have told that story.
Yeah.
So it's one of those stories that it leads you to, yeah, there's something else going on, just from hearing it. And I heard it three times, so it's like. Yeah.
You said there's other odd stories besides
that? Just like strange things that they would say, and it's like you would hear it multiple times. So it, not things that you're reading between the line kind of thing.
But if you think you got a good story,
And it did get a laugh. It always got a laugh.
Yes, it was funny.
I'm gonna cover him a little bit on that, because I think if I remember how this story came up, we were talking about relationships, like marital relationships, mm-hmm. here in the meeting, and that story came up. And then on Saturday, I actually asked him to tell the story.
Okay,
So I don't want to.
That's good. Yeah,
you know. Just to be fair.
Yeah, because is he front running something? Yeah. What's he doing? So anyway, maybe just go around. Is he a viable second to you, John?
Yes.
Is he a viable second to you?
I didn't get a chance to talk about why.
Oh, yeah, can please,
I?
Please.
Okay, I will slow us down, but.
Please.
I think that because he's confident, it's a bit of a problem. So what makes him a good preacher is also what presents a problem, which is that you get the sense that it's going to be harder to guide him. Like, you're going to have to convince him of things, as opposed to, like, hey, he's coming and looking to us for guidance. I don't get that sense because he's confident. I do get the sense that he wants to grow and he wants to change. I think that with either candidate, we're going to be operating on faith that they're going to grow into the role. And I believe that there's enough indication that he wants to change, and that I'm willing to put on faith that he can do that. And I think that's now, I don't understand, maybe perhaps the people who were adamantly against him, how how they'll handle the situation as he's growing, because I think people will put up with someone like with if Jason's not the best speaker, people will put up with that probably. I don't know if people feel this strongly about John, can they? We're going to have an effort on our side to help people come to terms with it. I think I just want to be intentional about that. That would so the caveat of yes, John, if we're prepared to do that work, that would be okay. Involved.
Yeah, I'd say yes.
David, what's that?
No.
Okay.
Don. You know, I can be a yes. You know, with the things that we've said, realizing that it's just going to have to be some coaching and. Like you said, we can't make decisions based upon the fear of not pleasing everyone. So I like John very much generally. It's just the concerns that were voiced were from people that I trust a lot.
Right.
So.
I'd like to throw out that there's another option for us always. If it doesn't work out, we can fire them. And, you know, we hate to... be that way because we're saying we want a long-term relationship. We do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also think that that's a strength for us to know that, you know, it doesn't work.
Yeah, we shouldn't be afraid of that, for sure.
And he may also feel after a year, he's like, this is too much for me. You know, the same thing. So it's that open option. That
somebody may come along and, you know, want to steal him from us, you know.
Definitely.
Well, let's finish the circle here real quick. Oh, so,
right. Steve, gone through the circle.
If that's what the group says, I would be for it. I know thinking about people who said, if Jason doesn't come, don't go with John. That would be the Grimshaws, the Criders, the McPhersons. And they were very, I would say, I'm not sure about the Grimshaws, but the Criders and the McPhersons were very frustrated that some people left when we got Nathan. All I have to do is go to him and say, do you remember your opinion of this? And I would do that.
Right.
And just remind them, to kind of bring them back. It's not about them. It's about trusting the elders. Okay. Leadership with this. Yeah. So I can be.
David?
I'm a yes for a second option.
The other thing we've got to remember is we go out and bring 10 more candidates in. And we'll be sitting in this exact same place.
Amen.
Right.
With whoever surfaces out of those 10 candidates. There's going to be something.
Right. Exactly.
About every one of them that we're going to end up having to trust that we can
right.
let God work.
Yeah. Right. And I remember when we were talking about youth ministry, and remember when the search committee came in and said, let's start from scratch again. I was pretty adamant, and I said, no, the way things are out there, if we have two good candidates, let's look at one of these two candidates. And so then I thought about it more. I'm like, well, we have two good candidates, and there's not a whole lot out there.
Right.
And so with that, I lean more towards.
Yeah. And again, I think if we didn't know Jeff Criter and if he came in here, there'd be people that, you know, he's got affectations, the way he delivers, or he's just too, he's too heady, you know, and it's like, you know, yeah, to your point, you're always going to get people that say, no, this is a non-starter. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it sounds like...
So we're on Jason. We've got a no for Steve. And so my thought is, we're feeling pretty good for John. But at this point... So my thought is we go forward with Jason. We got to figure out what that means, and you'll contact him, and then we give him a week. Mm-hmm. And then if it comes back no, then I think we need to just regroup, again, just given some reservations, and say, okay, do we want to talk to John? But, you know, we don't say anything to John at this point.
Right.
And then we'll wait to get Jason's, and then...
We have a clear majority here. Are we pursuing unanimity if we revisit... I mean, we don't have to get into the weeds on Plan B, but I thought I just heard a very clear, hey, if Jason says no, we move forward with John, and then
I'm
reaffirm that.
I'm fine with that. I just didn't know how if it was a simple majority or if we wanted, a full majority.
Sure.
So I don't know how you guys usually operate in that realm. But I'm fine with just
We've never really had to take a vote.
Right.
Kind of have gone around, and it's been kind of...
Right.
And what's the word? It's not unanimity. It's
consensus.
Consensus, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I was looking for an A word, but yeah, so I think we have a consensus.
Okay.
And I know with our Shepherd's Covenant, we leave here and
we're
we
behind
all
it.
Are one.
Yeah. Right.
So.
And so tomorrow you're not going to be asked by everybody in the church, who are you going to pick or well, who'd you pick? And
well, that comes into congregational communication.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's very important. Yeah. That we're united and how we approach that.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, so maybe we start there, even though it's the last one. Is my thought is, that tomorrow, I've got the elders thing that I don't know that we name somebody. We don't tell the congregation. Mm-hmm. I just say we've prayed about it and we've got a path forward and we hope to have, you know, better idea. But you can help me with the wording. But I don't know that we name anybody because there's just too many unknowns. And plus, you know, if we say Jason, John's going to hear it. And if we say John, Jason's going to hear it. And you know, it's a small town. You know, people are going to start talking and
we're just already being tight-lipped to a point even with our wives. I think we should probably not even tell them just to make it easy to on them that they don't know they don't have to worry about keeping it a secret.
I think it's valid for you to share tomorrow that the process continues and that we've given everybody until tomorrow Monday to give us feedback.
We said Friday.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we said Friday. Yes, that's what it was announced.
Okay. I thought for sure. Okay.
I think initially we had the 9th, and then we changed it to the 7th.
Okay. And
because we were meeting on the Monday as opposed to. Yeah.
Okay. So the process continues. Keep praying. We're thankful for all the feedback. You know, kind of message I think is a way to do that appropriately vague.
Okay, that sounds good. So then we're going to reach out to Jason. So then, Steve, you're the contact for that. Mm-hmm. And then we've kind of got to understand what's going to be in that memorandum of understanding. You know, what is it that, you know, so I just put a couple things. You know, how often do we want him to be here? When's the latest start date? You know, how do we want to communicate this?
I know we have to change up the memorandum of understanding that we had for Ethan.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot in there.
Is it in here or is it on my
computer? No, it's, I just...
And then also the financial thing. And
right.
I probably need at least the financial before I call him.
Ideally, we put together that document for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you know, you make a phone call, say, I'm going to send you a summary type thing. And that'll help him digest. He's something he can look at, and that kind of thing. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
We should be able to put that together after we talk about the elements here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's something in there about, you know, how much, you know, when would a start date be?
Mm-hmm.
That can still be worked out. I don't know how we want to address that, and then in the interim type. Mm-hmm. Expectations ideally would be in there if we know what we need to ask for.
So do we create that memorandum of understanding after you have the conversation with Jason, kind of get a feel where Jason is and say, hey, here are the things that I was thinking, if he says yes to the job, here are the things that I think I can do to fulfill that role. I can start, you know, June 1, first Sunday in June. I can be there once a month. I mean, so just kind of get a feel of what his capabilities are, what he's willing to do.
I would say both. I would say kind of like what Dave has, that we go through and draft up, here's kind of what we've got.
Yeah.
And though you can negotiate from that, and then you talk to Jason, and then we can tweak some of those things. But I think it'd be better for you to have that kind of laid out. Here's kind of what we're thinking, that we'd love to have you come in for...
Can we copy the memorandum of understanding we had for Ethan?
Can I just maybe... Yeah. I think one of the things that we don't want to do is to give him reasons to pause early in the negotiations.
Right.
You know, and so I think having an open dialogue without a document in front of you, you know, I think maybe say, this is some of the things that we were thinking, but we want to hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and come to some kind of resolution based on the dialogue and put together a document from the dialogue.
Yeah. You know, and I think that shows a willingness to work with them.
Right.
You know, and work through the process.
Well, it's kind of a, we feel God's calling us to invite you to come here. We feel like God's calling you to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And we work out the details.
Yes. Yes.
I think we're going to have to be sensitive, though, to this interim period, because
yeah.
he's still got an employer and he's still got commitments with the, I'm sure, for the school year, for
yeah.
the
yeah.
things. And so I think asking him to come here for a week every month or whatever would not work. I just can't imagine an employer.
Mm. A spring break, he might be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But then he's also got the, more important than any of this, is the foster child.
Yeah.
Been working through that.
Yeah.
So I think we've got to, as you said, leave it open to negotiation.
Nathan's got kids coming in for cafe, so.
They're going to be out in the cafe itself. So they won't be in the office.
Okay.
So we had the conversation about it. That
okay. I just
preferred if they did not come into the office itself.
Yeah.
He can come in, of course, to get his stuff, but.
Okay.
We would be up here.
I didn't know that. I thought we were all.
No, we had a staff meeting this week. We had a long conversation.
Sorry, I'm just trying to make sure.
Because Barb is upstairs as well for the food pantry, because the food pantry is open today. So just so there could be people walking through.
I do think he's going to need to hear a wage.
Yes.
From your conversation, you know, to how can you say yes when
right?
Yeah. Any numbers, and so I want. Whoever here this morning spent a little time figuring out, okay, from the resume, let's make sure we're in sync and what feels good. You know, I had calculated 64 for the teacher range, but then let's double check the experience number that drives that. And then, well, you know, he is more than a teacher, so as that guideline, what do we feel good about? Type thing. So you've got that, and then we can give more details about the benefits and stuff.
And I think it's, I would like to package it all together because it sounds much more attractive together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what he's making now, and I want to be.
Agreed. Yeah.
But I won't make any decisions. I'll say, you can talk to Dave. I'll send him to you with.
Well, yeah, any back and forth. If he says, well, I can only come once in the next 5 months for a visit. That's something we need to digest.
With him, I think he's open to coming more regularly, and I think he would want to also.
Yeah, and I think we had even had that conversation with him about coming maybe monthly.
Yeah.
So maybe for a weekend he could get away, but maybe not for a full week. Except for, like
they
you said,
had pretty low-cost flights, so us covering, some of those, I don't think is a deal-breaker.
Right.
I did spend $10,000 on him visiting 5 times, and then, well, we better off tack that on his salary.
So,
So
the thing about it is,
somewhere,
so you said the flights, so I just saw, I was looking for flights, I got an email from Alliance or whoever, Allegiant, and they actually have a super cheap flight from Belleville to Knoxville.
Oh, yeah.
Like $50 or something like that.
Oh, my.
So, so that may be something.
There's certain days you can do it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so we should probably just push on that being the place, the way he comes in, if he comes in by himself, especially, that save money.
I think when he comes in, we pay him something also.
Yeah, for that time he's here.
But this is not a full insight to kind of where his salary might be right now, but just looking at this is not a real comprehensive credit report, but it looks like they paid $242,000 for their home. And like their monthly payments are around about $1,500 a month. So you tend to, work your salary around, that's your biggest purchase, so you get an idea of kind of where things stand in terms of their overall income. So that 64 might be pretty close.
I mean, would it be totally out of line to ask him what his current salary is? Just to.
Or when I presented it to him, say, are you making more now?
So I would almost say not. I would say this is what we're offering. And if he comes back and says, that's a little too little, at that point ask the question.
That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, because I don't think we need to, it's not really important for us, I don't think, what he's making now. It shouldn't be. We're making him an offer, and that's what we feel his worth is.
Yeah.
And then it's only whenever there's a problem that things would come up.
I don't like the term that we think that's what his worth is. That's just the technical thing. He's worth a lot more than that.
Well, what we're willing to pay him.
Yeah.
What we're able to pay
what
him.
What we're able to pay him.
Yeah. For this position.
Yes.
Yeah,
And again, we're not just pulling numbers out of the air. Like Dave said, we've got a pretty good rationale for how we've come up with it.
Yeah. And I totally trust Dave working up these numbers and everything.
And I think it's good to let him know that, you know, unlike where John is, where you don't get raises for years, that we've got a good track record of continued COLA advancements and merit increases.
And that our history has been, we've made the staff a priority. When things were tough, we still wanted to take care of our staff.
Well, we put 4% in the
this year
budget for, and that's larger than the current.
Well, so let's see. As far as communication goes, I want to run an idea by you guys. Before we say anything, we get an answer in terms of what offer, the fact that we've made an offer, we get an answer, and then we communicate. But it might play out where we make Jason an offer, he says yes, then we let the congregation know, and we can answer questions about when's his start date, we expect him to be here maybe once a month, et cetera, keep praying for them, If he says no, and in our back and forth, it's not going to work, and we move on to John, and he says yes, then I think is when we communicate to the congregation. And I actually think it would be healthy to say, we have made an offer to Jason.
I agree with that.
And after prayer, he has said no.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
And we moved on to John, not to settle for him, but to realize that's what God is providing.
Yeah.
He has said yes.
Yeah.
Because I think the people, if we just say we made an offer to John,
and
the folks that wanted Jason won't get the benefit of, they'll think, oh, they got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it throws John under the bus if we communicate once we have an answer.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, we've offered Jason, we're waiting, keep praying. Yeah, that just doesn't,
And also, I don't think we do that in the service where everything's on the line.
Okay.
I feel like maybe we have a congregational meeting and we turn all the online stuff off.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Thinking about the communication to the body, and I think it's when we have a conclusion, we can spell it all out.
Yeah.
But we do spell it all out.
Transparency, I think, is a very important thing. But we got to be careful with our transparency.
Especially online.
And then even just, I like the way you put it, where he's not our second, and we can say we felt both were viable candidates.
Right. We can. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we don't have really any. So this is the last week of Bible class. So we have, so say this happens not this week, but the week, pancake breakfast week, or even the 22nd, let's say, it pans out. We have time after service to say, hey, we're just going to stick around and talk about this.
Yeah.
And so there's like even the last week of the year, the 29th, we have no Bible class that week either. So we have 3 weeks where we could potentially have this meeting after service and walk through it.
All right, well, I appreciate that because I just feel like the transparency would be healthy. And even if Jason says yes, we would communicate, appreciate all the feedback. We did have lots of folks that liked both. We were blessed with two good candidates.
Mm-hmm.
We were led to Jason. He has said yes.
Step one is I call him today and offer him the position. With that, we have a memorandum of understanding and a compensation package with that. We give him till next Saturday to answer. Is that right?
It's 1 week, that's what we
said. And then tomorrow you say, continue to be praying for us. We're headed in the, whatever term you use was good.
Yeah, and so what Dave said is, yeah, process continues, and continue praying, and we're still thankful for the feedback.
Yeah, yeah. And then if he says yes next Saturday, we then can announce it on the 15th. And then if he says no, then we go to John, and we give him seven a week, and then we would know by the 22nd that we could, if it's... Yeah.
So is, I know all the reasons why we set it as a week, but I can see if he comes back and says, a week's not enough, I got to figure out about the foster care.
Yeah.
I mean, are we willing to give him more time, or?
Well, in the whole, I would think the whole foster care stuff is, you know, if he says yes, we work with whatever he has to do.
So then ultimately it's not going to work out for foster, for the child to transfer.
He comes
back
and says
no. But it's still 6 months, or yeah, 6 months before he actually shows up. So it's possible that could they get the transfer taken care of. In a 2 week period, they're not going to be able to make a decision.
No, I mean, just
that's,
I mean,
what Donna's saying.
Yeah, saying finding out what has to happen and what the chances are.
I know that they were going to look at that. Is okay, what he maybe had mentioned,
they have.
But,
well, so, in interstate compacts.
You can move.
We've worked
kids
with Illinois. We've worked with Arkansas.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they're all different. And so Tennessee, I think we may have worked one time with Tennessee, I'm not sure. With CFS I'm talking about. And they're different, and they change quickly.
And by children, by child, they could actually change too.
That's some of that, but it also sometimes is whoever you get
on
the phone.
Do we know, were the rights terminated already, or?
They were in that process. Once that's done, it can go much quicker.
So I guess my thought would be, if this is the only thing keeping you back, we just need to know if this is a yes, and we can work with you on that. And well, you know, we're not going to give you more than a couple weeks to figure that out. You should be able to get clarity. So yeah, we'll extend you another week or two, but we need to know that it's yes, except for that information.
So I'll ask him. I'll tell him, you know, please let us know next Saturday. He comes back in the middle of the week, says, "I need another week." Just say okay. You know.
Well, I would ask why.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd encourage you, it's a subtle thing, but you know, let us know your decision, maybe Saturday at the latest.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Type
That's
of thing,
good.
Because he can call, there might be some back and forth, he has some questions. Go ahead and call on Tuesday, you know, that kind of thing.
Nathan makes the priority to say, he didn't even hang up the phone. He just gave the answer right then. so if you do that, that's fine too. We're happy to just take the answer now.
Wherever they're at. So, and that way we'll.
And I guess that's another thought is hopefully we all prayed and fasted this past week, and I did, that there's still prayer and fasting just for the candidates and their spouses. I mean, I think we still need to pray for John too, and that God guides him, because I think he's a good man. He just needs to find a place where, you know, he's not as hindered as he is. But yeah, we do need to pray for Jason and Megan and clarity.
Yeah. And with John, he didn't say this, he didn't hint about it, and he didn't need, it wasn't his, he didn't need to, but one thing Jerry Jones said is there was the church in Little Rock was pursuing him also, and Jerry said, and I think they're really wanting him. Mm-hmm. That could be Jerry just for trying to
grease the wheel.
So I didn't take it for much, but
it was on Facebook the other night, and there was a string of preachers talking, and one of them was remember all the names, but they were saying that the average time frame to hire a preacher now, they think, is 2 years. That's why I'm saying, you know, we don't want to fumble here, and you know, we can always, we may be forced to change later, but at least
once this is all over, I'd like to, in one of our elders' meetings, spend a little bit of time talking about how was this process? What could we have done different? What was good about it? Just to analyze that for future reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know that we have to shake everything out today. I think we've done well, but we still need to, I think we've all said, Jason's going to have a lot more hand-holding, so we're going to have to make sure that you know, we understand what those things are and get that in place, that, you know, it's going to be, regardless of what we do, his first quarter is going to be pretty awkward for him. Mm-hmm. And just what do we need to put in place? I think also, I think what Brad said is wise, that as a church, as leaders, we shouldn't be afraid to say, hey, this isn't working out. You know, we've given you every opportunity, and for whatever reason, it's not working out. Now, you know, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but that shouldn't be something we're afraid of. So I think we've got a path forward for the next week. Sometime after, hopefully we get a yes, you know, we'll have to get together and say, what do we need in that memorandum of understanding? What do we need to have for them on day one, and et cetera, et cetera. More communication with the congregation over those months, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I'm happy to help with Jason's transition. So one of the things that he struggled with was the tech that we had, and so definitely working with him, especially as we're working to set up the new computer and new things that we've made purchases on this year. So some of those things could help to help his communication up in front. But I mean, I have experience in preaching and doing classes and things like
that. Did he do like website design and stuff too?
Yeah. So yeah. He has lots of
he'll pick it up.
Things like that. So.
And he was also the media minister at the campus church for a while too. So he's got all that good experience with all that.
Yeah, picked up. So good. I'm feeling good about, you know, again, we were unanimous on Jason, and I think he's a good candidate. Again, it's going to be a lot for him to get his legs under him, mm-hmm. but I really think he's a good guy. You know, I'm nervous about, you know, he's got a lot of hair on his side making the decision, so we just keep praying about that. And then hopefully, as leaders, we can get the congregation supportive and behind this. And again, everybody's going to have pluses and minuses.
And there were several that said we should hire John, so that we don't have to deal with that. But that's, and people aren't going to be happy, but that's just part of leadership.
Yeah.
No, we're used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one is much more smoother transition. Than
at least it would seem to be more Jason-sided. It wasn't 50-50.
Motion to adjourn.
Yeah, well, Don Fitz, would you close us out? Just thank God for the decision and ask to guide us on Jason.
Can I just read this? God said, do not be anxious about anything.
Amen.
And all things trust in him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want to be anxious about anything. Mm-hmm. But we also know that that's our tendency. And you've affirmed again this morning your presence among us and how you are continually faithful to us. Grateful for these men, and I know the great prayer that has preceded this morning and just about making a decision about our minister, and grateful for all the good input we got from the congregation. I feel like they were engaged, and we thank you for making it clear that Jason is our first choice, and I just pray that you'll be with him and Megan as they consider the offer, and be with Steve as he presents that to him this morning, and just pray that it'll be very clear, and that Jason and Megan will have what they need to sit down and pray and make a decision about what they want to do with their career and their family.
Yes,
help them to see clear direction. Bring things that need to happen in their life to make that clear to them about the foster care and the adoption issues, and just about the jobs that they currently have, and the schoolwork that Megan has, and just help them to see the excitement in this and the calling that you bring to them right now. Mm-hmm. And, Father, we want to pray for John and Katie as well, and just pray that you will continue to fill their hearts with the desire to serve you. Mm-hmm. And however this works out, we just pray that you will bless them with the right place to serve, in minister as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being with us in this process. I'm grateful for, again, these men and how that we have worked to try to do what we need to do and follow what we need to follow and all the good input and counsel we've received. And we just pray that, again, you'll help us as we take these next steps to be clear in our communication, to be clear in just the way we work this out. And I just pray that, again, it will be a blessing to this church.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for being with us this morning and for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.